Okay. If you're hearing this, it's already over. I'm recording this because I want you in the outside world to know what it's like, how we live in terror, how any second we might disappear.
The following audio was sent anonymously from the state known as New Great Britain. For the first time in 39 years, we hear what life is like inside the isolated country. This is From an Island. Encrypted phone conversation. Jade Hampshire to Melissa Bradley. Dated 17th of April, year 39, 7:42 a.m.
Mom, it's me. Can you talk?
The line is secure.
I think we might have someone we can use.
Go on.
The man last night, on the tube.
The cache on the underground?
Yeah. He works for Pure.
Interesting. I can't believe Atwood let him walk away. More evidence if we needed it that we must act.
Shall I investigate him?
Let's see what he can offer. But Jade, be casual. I'll be listening. I'm always listening.
Will Sussex, home recording. Dated 16th of April, year 39, 10:52 p.m.
Is this recording? Let me just... okay. If you're hearing this, it's already over. I'm recording this because I want you in the outside world to know what it's like, how we live in terror, how any second we might disappear. Not to sound too dramatic, but in this country, when you've seen what I've seen, you don't last long. Fuck, I still can't believe it. Let me tell you the story. I was getting the tube home tonight, one of the privileges of being a Cat A citizen, and I'm sat there at Green Park waiting for the train. There's no one else around until a troop of PGs come running down the stairs. Do you even know what PGs are? Has that made it out? It's hard to think what the outside world knows about us. PGs are the palace guard. They keep the peace around here. These weren't normal PGs though. These were red cap PGs. They look after the Prime Minister. Before I could even jump to the conclusion that he might be close by, there he was. Our Prime Minister, Mr. Atwood, just stood right in the middle of them. It was weird seeing him in the flesh. Sure, I've seen him loads of times. Every year at the St. George's Day Parade for a start, but that was from a distance. Here on the tube platform he looked different. He was older looking. Actually, he didn't look well at all. He was being held up. He was still dressed in his famous double-breasted suit, but it was almost draped over him. He was so thin. The PGs quickly moved him over to an oxygen station, you know, one of the ones installed on every platform when the resistance started their gas attacks in the early days. They were struggling to get the mask out and attach it to the tanks. All the while I could see Atwood gasping for air. It didn't feel real. Now, I've used these oxygen stations loads of times, so I decided to shout over offering help. Big fucking mistake. In all the commotion, they hadn't even noticed me. Seconds later, they're putting me up against the wall, asking who I was and demanding to see my movement visa. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. I just stared at Atwood. He was grey and delicate looking. No, not delicate. Frail. He looked hollowed out.
NG BBC Radio News Report. 11 p.m., 16th of April, year 39.
Oh, Our top story tonight, the Prime Minister's personal physician confirmed today that Prime Minister Atwood is in the best health he's ever been in. Dr. Megan Somerset told us he had the heart of a lion, the IQ of a genius, and the body responses of a 40-year-old, despite turning 83 this year. This news comes after rumours had been circulated that the glorious Prime Minister was suffering with health issues. Mr. Atwood was having his yearly check-up ahead of next week's St. George's Day parade. In other news tonight...
Will Sussex. Home recording continued.
So I'm up against the wall, one PG in my ear, barking, telling me not to look at anything, the other holding my hands behind my back. It took me ages to explain that I could help. To be honest, I think the only reason they listened was because Atwood was doubled over. It only took me 30 seconds to connect the whole thing up. From experience, you have to delicately thread the tubes. Unsurprisingly, and this might come as a shock to you, being delicate isn't an attribute of the palace guard. Atwood was breathing fine within a minute or so. Well, not fine. Better, anyway. After it was all over, I thought they'd award me with the Golden Lion for services to the PM. But as soon as I saw who was walking down the stairs onto the platform, I knew I'd be lucky to leave there with my life.
Encrypted phone conversation. Jade Hampshire to Melissa Bradley. Dated 17th of April, year 39, 2:46 PM.
Did he check out?
4 years at Pure. Not really anti-government, but not for the party. His profile is almost perfect.
That's positive. I had a surveillance team set up a fixed mic stream on him. I listened. He sounds like what we need. Let's proceed.
Will Sussex home recording continued.
As if one tyrannical leader wasn't enough, suddenly I'm with two. Mrs. Bradley appeared strolling down the platform like she was breezing onto the Jubilee line. Bradley. The snoop. All of a sudden, I'm stood within inches of the two most powerful people in the country. The Prime Minister and his deputy, Melissa Bradley, the Minister for the Goodness of New Great Britain. The atmosphere changed when she appeared. It was heavy. I mean, you could actually feel it. She was with yet more PGs, each one looking hungry for blood. Straight away she starts screaming at me, asking what I've seen, demanding I'm thrown into Pentonville for crimes against the leadership. It was getting nasty. There's guns in my back and I'm up against the wall again. Then, believe me, I didn't see this coming. Atwood pulls his oxygen mask down and yells, "Let him go!" Pretty impressive given minutes earlier he was struggling to breathe. What's even more impressive is that someone whose career, which has essentially been a series of genocidal acts, is showing some fucking compassion. Bradley looked furious. She had this expression on her face. She was almost enjoying her utter disgust. She launched full pelt into an argument with him. I've never seen a man screaming in a rage still wearing an oxygen mask before. It was quite a sight. As this was going on, I was escorted out by a woman, the leader of Bradley's PGs. She took my details, asked me about my job at Pure, and that was it. I was just stood on Piccadilly as if nothing had happened. Here's the really weird bit, though. All that wasn't the weird bit. I get home with this, outside my door. This is my movement visa for the week. Most weeks, like everyone else, I can only be at home or at work or in transit to either, but this one. Government issued, by the way, is an all-access pass to anywhere in New Great Britain. And folded into it, £10,050 notes. 10,000! When you see something this government doesn't want you to see, they kill you, no question. This can only mean one thing. They want something from me.
From an Island was written and produced by Ben Burrell. Co-production came from Jack Frost. Paul Beeson was Will Sussex. Emmy Fires was Jade Hampshire. Emma Jones was our newsreader, and Claire Sturgis, our narrator. The script editor was Louise Burrell. Art direction came from Carl Fraser-Lunn, and original music came from Wintermeyer. With thanks to Jordan Drury. From an Island is a Fuel by Coffee production. For more information, go to fuelbycoffee.net. Next time.
They decided only citizens who could prove, via DNA testing, that at least 75% of their genetic makeup was from British heritage could stay within the country.
A Fueled by Coffee production.